You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Ugh, you said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. Listed in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope, but I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Check. 1, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we are celebrating food and bowel movements. These are two things that we talk about a lot, and it gets pretty heated, right? This episode gets pretty heated. There are some bad words in this episode, so this might not be the best episode for kids. If you missed it, I did put an explicit language tag on this episode. So if you have kids, you might want to listen to this one a little later, because I don't edit out bad words. Now, I probably should. Maybe. I don't know. Whether it's just something I'm not into. We hear them. We all use them. I'm just going to keep it as real as humanly possible. Today's guest is Nate Thomas of the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. And let me just kind of cover real quick what we talk about in today's episode. Today's episode is about, I'm going to put it out here for you. You've hunted all morning. It's cold. You're starving. You're hungry. What meal are we going to? Or, you know, it's 5 o'clock and you've been sitting in the, or maybe 4 o'clock, you've been sitting in the tree stand all day long and you're hungry and you want to eat something. What snack is in your pack? We're talking about pre-hunt meals. We're talking about post-hunt meals. We're talking about what happens when you eat Mountain House too many times, too many days in a row. And what happens to those bowel movements and what they feel like when they come out. That's just a little sprinkle of what we talk about today. So this is a straight up BS session, literally. And I hope you guys enjoy it. But before we get to today's podcast, real quick, I'm going to run through some of the people that make this podcast possible. And of course, I sell advertisements, and this, my friends, is the portion of the show where I go over the partners of this podcast. Now, don't fast forward. If you guys could do me a favor, just listen to it, go to their websites, read up on their products, at least do me a favor by going from here to one of these companies that may intrigue you and giving their products a look, man. Not forcing you to buy, just want you to go check them out. So, first on the list, if you are looking for a saddle, saddle hunting accessories, information on how to become a better saddle hunter, you got to go check out Tethered and their full lineup of products, man. I mean, they have brand new saddles that have been released in the last year. They got new carbon fiber products that are out, both, I believe, climbing sticks and a platform this year. So Tethered is doing it and doing it big. They are the number one source for saddle hunting gear and equipment and education. So go to tetherednation.com. Next on the list is my heavy metal, death metal favorite product. When I say favorite, is because I use them and I love them, and I've used them for damn near 15 years now. Wasp Archery. Go visit wasparchery.com. Take a look at their mechanicals. Take a look at their fixed blades. Most of their heads are made in America, and which tells you right there that the material is good, is really good. The design is really good. And from experience, I can say that you put one of the Wasp broadheads in the vitals, you're going to have a superb blood trail. So do me a favor, go to wasparchery.com and enter the discount code NFC20 for 20% off when you decide to purchase. Next on the list, Vortex Optics. These guys have recently released a lineup of sunglasses. They have an apparel line. So on top of their world-class optics, rifle scopes, range finders, binoculars, spotting scopes, red dots, you name it, these guys are doing other things as well. So do me a huge favor, go to vortexoptics.com. Whether you need a range finder or binos or spotting scope or a new scope for your rifle, they have variety of different price points, and with summer just around the corner, it's almost time for that summer velvet scouting, and we're going to need a spotting scope, and we're going to need a good pair of binoculars. So go check out vortexoptics.com. You can go to eurooptic, eurooptic.com, and you can enter the discount code 9finger10, the number 9, the word finger, the number 10, and you're going to receive 10% off of all your Vortex purchases on that website. Next on the list, Feed Hub. If you run a spin cast feeder, this is a product that you're definitely going to want to look into. It allows you, it's a device that you can connect to any spin cast feeder. And then remotely, you can, through your phone, through the Moultrie mobile app, you can schedule feeding times. You can unclog your feeder if for some reason it gets stuck. You can monitor feed levels as well. And what this does is it allows you to really be efficient when going to your hunting property, when being invasive in your hunting property to check your feeders. This allows you to go right when the feed is out and then monitor those feeding times as well. So check out the Feed Hub at MoultrieMobile.com. Code BlueSense. Before I forget, discount code NFC20, 20% off. And that's going to save you 20% on real synthetic deer urines, laundry detergent, scent elimination sprays, bar soap. And then one of my favorite products is the Rope-A-Dope Mock Scrape Kit with that pre-orbital gel. And the next time I head out to my properties, I'm going to be tweaking my tree stand setups, and within shooting range of absolutely every single tree stand that I have preset, there will be a mock scrape to visit that. So go to codebluesense.com, check it out. And then we have Huntworth. I'm going to say top five for sure, probably top three, but top five camo clothing companies on the market. It's not going to break the bank, and you're getting a ton of quality, ton of value with your purchase. Check out the Durham pants, check out their base layers, check out their heat boost technology. Those are three things that I really like about the product. And then stay tuned on social, because Huntworth is going to be making an announcement pretty soon. That's going to be pretty cool. So huntworthgear.com. Last but not least, I need a big favor. I need all of you to go to fullsneakgear.com and check out my apparel line that I started. T-shirts, crew necks, hats, stocking caps. It's just some simple t-shirts that have deer on them. And if you love deer, they're pretty cool. And then I have a couple, I think I have three that have a little bit more of a design value than just a logo. And they're sweet, man. They're just kick-ass shirts that I wear on date nights. I wear around the house. We all need more t-shirts, so go to fullsneakgear.com and check it out. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We are done with everything that we are supposed to be done with, I think. And that's the intro. Let's get into the meat and potatoes, literally, of this episode with my man Nate Thomas from the Missouri Woods and Water podcast. Enjoy. 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And today I am joined by fellow Sportsman's Empire podcaster from the Missouri Woods and Water podcast, Nate Thomas. Nate, my man, how are we doing?
I mean, assuming the internet doesn't fuck us here, I'm doing great, bud.
It is. It is. It's happening right now. So we've tried 1,000 different things in order to record this episode, and there is going to be a slight delay on his response to my questions. So, but the good news is I don't think we're going to have any groundbreaking type of conversation today. It's going to be a BS session. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be however, you know, whatever direction we take it. But I talked to you a little bit before we started recording on what the, you know, what the topic was going to be. And so if the audio does come out shitty, then it doesn't matter. is what I'm getting at.
You'll have to forgive my friend. He's a little slow.
That's
what you need to say to everybody about this.
Exactly. It's not the internet. It's just that you're mentally challenged.
it takes Nate 3 seconds to formulate an opinion before he starts talking.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly
what it is.
There you go. Hey, then it doesn't make me look bad, and I'll take it.
Whatever for you, man. Whatever for you.
All right. Okay. So the first thing that kind of popped up this morning was after a morning turkey hunt, whether we kill one early or whether it's like, let's get out of the woods. It's 10 o'clock in the afternoon. One of my favorite things to do is to go get a big breakfast from some small town cafe somewhere. And so today I kind of wanted to talk about pre-hunt, post-hunt food and meals and just keep it light today as far as the conversation is concerned. So I know you go out west hunting. I know that I've been out west a couple times, and you go out into the wilderness for a handful of days and to try to get away from civilization. And then when you come back to civilization, there's some traditions that I like to partake in. But right off the bat, is there any type of traditional meal that you have, whether that's post deer hunt, post elk hunt, or pre-elk hunt?
Well, so traditions, there are some traditions. I have actually missed their traditions the last 2 years, but Andy's cousin, Austin, his dad has put on a breakfast every opening morning of rifle season for I don't know how many years.
Oh, wow.
So like group of friends, he'll cook this big breakfast before opening morning. So you're talking 5 a.m, you know, it's got to be early enough before daylight for us to eat and get to our locations to hunt.
Yep.
And he's been doing that for years, and I've been invited to it, and I've only been there once in the last 3 years, but that's a cool tradition. He's been doing that for a long time. And then
what does he cook?
Oh, man, bacon, eggs, bits and gravy. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
It's getting cooked.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
There's something about, I don't know what it is. There's something about a breakfast that after a cold morning or, you know, sometimes during the turkey season, the mornings can be pretty, you know, chilly. and you get you walk, like for me, I'm not a big breakfast person when I am deer hunting. I don't like to eat a heavy meal before I go out into the woods. But once I leave the woods, then I pig out.
I'm the same way. I'm the exact same way.
Yeah.
This is going to be TMI for most people, but I'm a morning shitter.
Yep, me too.
So
me too.
I typically get to my shits in the morning. So for deer hunting wise, I don't like to eat.
Yeah.
If I'm hunting in the morning, because that's just going to make me shit more,
yeah.
You know, like, or go quicker. Right?
Exactly.
So I'm the same way. I'll wait until after I get out of the woods. And then typically, because of where I hunt, there's a McDonald's down the road on the way home. And I'll stop by McDonald's, get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit and a Dr. Pepper, just like some caffeine and some food.
Yep.
And then handle business when I get home, you know. Right. But if I eat in the tree stand or on the way to the tree stand, I can almost guarantee you I'm going to have a decision to make during that morning. And I don't want to do that.
Hey, and I'll tell you right now.
I don't want a sky dump.
Yep. Yep. And I'll tell you right now, that's why I don't drink coffee. Like I drink coffee every morning, except when I go deer hunting or maybe during turkey season, because we're moving around and I don't really care if I kill a turkey or not.
You find a tree to get behind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when it comes to deer hunting, man, I don't drink coffee in the mornings anymore. I'll wait till after the morning hunt to start drinking coffee, because I don't want to go number two out of the tree stand. I don't want to have to get down to go number two. I'm prepared to go number two if I have to, but I'm not. because there's nothing that throws you off your predator game than the gut.
More than shitting in the woods.
Exactly. The gut rumbling. And you're like, oh, now I got to go handle this. I don't want to handle this.
Well, and then like, I don't know about you, but I will get down
and
go find somewhere to go to the bathroom if I have to.
Yep.
Well, look at all the noise you're making and the smells you're putting in the woods. And I'm just like, I might as well leave if I'm doing this.
Exactly. You know?
I'm sure the freaking animals don't give a rat's ass, but but then in Colorado, dude, I missed. So last year, people who listen to our show know that I drew a Wyoming elk tag with my brother-in-law. So we went to Wyoming last year and we backpacked. Hunted. So we, camp was on our back. We moved each day. So last year was the first year that I really got like a full on dose of the Mountain House, Peak Refuel, like different, can't remember the other brands. I bought like four different brands of the food in a bag. And I've got some stomach issues that I'm trying to deal with anyways. That's another story. But anyway, I was not doing very good during elk season in September, right?
Right.
And we get there and we start hunting. And like by the third day, dude, I was sick as shit. Like I could not eat one of those freaking meals.
Yeah.
They are so rich that my gut couldn't freaking handle them, essentially, dude. Like I was shitting my brains out.
Really?
With those. So like I missed Colorado, because Colorado, back when we had our tradition with it, we'd go out. My father-in-law would always go, and he would be our camp cook.
Yep.
Right? So there was something about going hunting all day. He would actually – we'd get up at the ass crack of dawn, and he'd make us a breakfast as well.
Yeah.
Big breakfast.
Yep.
Which I loved and hated at the same time, because I knew I'm going to eat this breakfast, and by the time we get to the base of the mountain, I'm going to have to take shit.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But it was fine. But the nice thing was, you knew, like, you could bust your ass all day, try to find elk, try to get on them, whatever you're doing. And when you got back at camp at 8 o'clock at night, by the time you got off the mountain and got back there, there was going to be a, like, home-cooked meal every year.
Right.
And one of those home-cooked meals, and it's been a tradition for almost, like, 7 years before this year, my wife would make lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
She makes some of the best lasagna I've ever seen in my life. She would make two big pans of it for the entire group. And we would freeze them, and then we'd take them out there, and he would put them in the stove or the oven, and we would have that for one of the meals. And every night you'd come back, you're just wondering which night we're going to have lasagna.
Yeah.
Like, is lasagna this night? What do we got? Burgers this night? Like, every night it was something home cooked and warm.
Yeah.
And dude, that's one of the best traditions about going out west. One of the best memories for me is sitting around the campfire or the table and eating a hot meal that my father-in-law cooked for us, who was out there, you know, as a camp cook. So I'll miss that sort of stuff, because I think this year is the first year that he is retiring his trip with us. And I'm not going out this year, so things are changing. But that's one thing I'm always going to miss you.
This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
It's a treasure, you know, cherished is the awesome stories and times we had just around food right there at camp.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I'll say this. My dad acted as camp cook a handful of years ago when I went, I think it was, might have been the last time I went to Colorado elk hunt. He tagged along and he brought his Dutch oven kits with him. And so there we had two nights where he cooked meals for us. So we came off the mountain, or maybe it was I think what happened was it was a morning. There was one morning where it was raining, and so nobody went out. And then we had, or we were back at camp early. I can't really remember. But anyway, he had started a fire. He had started cooking all of the, it was something simple. It was like beef burgers in the Dutch oven. And they were delicious, because you've been there before, hiking up the mountains. You're exhausted, and the only two things you're thinking about is stuffing your face and getting some sleep. And so it was nice to be able to go there and eat a couple beef burgers and, you know, potato chips or whatever this our accompanying food was. But I will tell you this.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
There's certain, Mountain House. Okay, Mountain House. I only had Mountain House for the first elk hunt I ever went on. And I didn't have a bowel movement for 3 or 4 days because of that. Now, you might mix in a little bit of dehydration with that. So not only do you have this gigantic sodium intake when you're eating these Mountain House meals, but then on top of that, you're busting your ass up and down this mountain. And so on the way home, it was day four, we come off the mountain, we're driving back to Iowa, and we stop at this restaurant and I think I drank two beers, and I had a big greasy sandwich, and that must have loosened something up. But I had the most painful, I had the most painful shit I had ever, there was no water in it. It was literally like shitting a brick of what I had eaten the previous 4 days. I mean, it was a Pringle. It felt like a Pringles can of rock solid material coming out of my butt. It hurt so bad. And so that was the last time that I brought Mountain House, or just, I shouldn't say Mountain House, but I will say solely ate Mountain House. Now I bring an apple with me. Even when I'm going out into the backcountry, I'll bring a couple apples with me. So there's fiber, so there's some liquid in the meal, not just added water to freeze-dried, you know, food.
Yeah. Dude, so like me and my brother-in-law, Russell, were talking about it. You know, like if we do another tag or whatever, I'm like, man, I can't do that again.
Yeah.
Because so by the end of the trip, so, you know, I think we had dinner the first night and I was good. And then the second night I did it again. We had dinner again. And then I shit all night long. Like, it was horrible. I even told him, like, I don't think I'm going in the morning, dude. Like, I don't know how we're going to do this. Well, I ended up going in the morning. But then that next night, all I ate was, like, some chips I had. And I had peanut butter and tortillas rolled up. And so for the next like 2 or 3 days, I didn't touch any of those meals.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't want to get tore up and feel like shit.
Yeah.
And by the last day, I'm like, I don't know how I'm functioning. I'm not eating enough food. Like I didn't have enough food outside of those to, you know, sustain myself.
Yep.
And we come down off the mountain and that's when we found that the bear fucked my truck up. And we had hot dogs on. He brought a little Blackstone, like a little travel Blackstone, like this big.
Yep.
Little tiny ass thing. We had hot dogs. There was two left. We each had a hot dog. That was the best fucking hot dog I've had in my life. It was just like actual food going into my body.
Right.
But I've never actually, like, when we go out to Colorado every year, you know, you do so much, you would think you're burning so much calories, you feel like you're going to lose weight over a 2 week span, right? Yeah. Well, every year I'd go out to Colorado, I would not lose weight.
Yeah.
Dude, Wyoming, I lost like 8 pounds.
Yeah.
And it was actually not fun from the food side of it, because like you would sit down for a break and you're like, well, I can't really eat these snacks too much because this is what I'm going to eat for dinner tonight because I'm not eating the Mountain House or the Peak or whatever it was, you know?
Yeah.
And like if I'm going to do another backcountry trip, I'm going to have to figure something else out. I'd read about people like, what's the word? Free drying is the only word I can think of. Like
vacuum sealing. Food. It's vacuum sealing and then freezing it probably. Yeah.
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 So like you can take actual chicken and rice.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I have a buddy who he pre-mail, when he goes out west elk hunting, he will create his own freeze dried meals. So, for example, he'll take, a bagel, he'll put, peanut butter on it. He'll put bacon on it and maybe even a little bit of honey, and then he'll vacuum seal it.
Sounds amazing.
He freezes it and then he puts it into a cooler so that by the time we get out there, it's ready to eat. Now, it's not from a texture standpoint, it was hard to chew. The bread kind of dried up a little bit. But I will say this, that it gave you the energy you needed to complete the mission, basically, that for the rest of the week, right? And so he did that. He does that with even backstrap. He'll do it with like just basically chicken and rice and things that fit into the bags, vacuum seal them, freeze them, get out there. And then all you got to do is let them thaw out. And maybe if you can do it right, dump it into your jet boil or whatever the case is and warm it up that way as well. I've had guys who have freeze dried bratwurst, and then they'll take their jet boil and they will put water in it and they'll boil it. They'll get it boiled, then they'll put the brats in it, and then they'll flip them over and they're eating brats. They're pre-cooked, but you know, so basically you're just warming it up. But what I have found is that just the Mountain House bothers me, clogs me up. All the other stuff, Peak Refuel, I eat that no problem. The Heather's Choice, I eat that no problem. There were a couple other brands where I've eaten them, and I don't get any issues. But I also implement other food outside of just freeze-dried meals into my diet as well. Like I said, apples, vegetables, like a bag of carrots, lots of peanuts, and cashews and almonds, like a trail mix type mixture that I keep into the car as well. And so, yeah, man, it's one of those things where I have, I've learned what I can get away with and what I can't get away with over the course of the last, I don't know, 10 years now traveling out west. And, I have to have a mix of backcountry food.
Yeah, no, and I learned my lesson, I guess you'd say it. And like I said, by the end of the trip, I wasn't touching that shit because I didn't want to have problems that's happened. So, but one thing I will say, I can't not do this show with you and not talk about this. No matter where I'm at in the deer woods or the elk woods or the coyote woods, it doesn't matter where I'm at. There will be a fudge round. In my
a fudge family. Round.
At least one.
Okay.
Fudge round.
Okay.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Fudge round is like the light of my life. You know, like when I open it up, it's like God himself come down and said, my son, it's time for you to enjoy this. So fudge rounds are part of my pack regiment, no matter where I'm at. They've got to be there. And it's got to be the bigger ones, the smaller ones. The bigger ones are nice and moist for the most part, and they're good.
Okay.
So wherever you're at, find that. For me, like if you go out west, you're out back country hunting, or you're maybe hunting all day in the deer woods, and you're gonna have to eat out there.
Yep.
Good food for you is important.
Yep.
But find something that makes you happy, and figure out a way to get in your pack. You know, whether that's a fudge round or a freaking honey bun or.
Yep.
It don't have to be good for you. It doesn't have to always be good for you in a situation. Something that makes you feel good,
right,
is also not a bad thing.
Right.
So, you know, some people like different things, but for me, it's fudge rounds, and I will make sure they are sitting in my pack somewhere.
Hey, that's a great tip. So, here's how my body works. If I am hunting a morning, I'll go and I'll eat a breakfast. Maybe I'll even take a nap. Whatever the case may be. But I will not, how do I put this? I don't eat a lot of sugar, whether it's for lunch or a snack before I go out into the woods for the evening hunt. Because my body reacts to sugar differently, I guess. So if I take a huge sugar, I'm good for a while. Or if I eat a big meal and my stomach is full, I get tired. And then I have a sugar crash or whatever that is. And then I get tired in the tree stand. So I have learned to just like eat a lot of protein, whether I am eating meat, like a handful of deli meat, or I eat like a hamburger or something like that. And then obviously fruits and vegetables, because man, if I eat a lot of sugar, I crash and I get tired, or a big meal and I get tired. So usually what I do is after my evening hunt, that is when I eat a lot of food. And that way it kind of carries me through until lunch, because I don't like to eat breakfast. Even today, like I don't eat breakfast. I just eat lunch and dinner. Oh,
I've had no food yet.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And so
you and I are recording 10 in the morning and I haven't eaten yet. And that's just pretty normal for me. So,
right.
No, I agree with you on that one.
Right. And so, but I will say this, there was a tradition when I went out on my elk hunts in Colorado. At the base of this mountain in this town was there's a handful of them all over Colorado, and I forget the name of it now. It's embarrassing, but it was a taco shop, and they had a variety of different tacos, and we would come down out of the mountains, and our first stop would be this place. Chips and salsa, we'd have, dude, I would eat like 8 tacos, and I would just because I knew I was done, right? And you just gorge yourself on this tacos. What was it? Voodoo tacos? God, it was like voodoo tacos or taco voodoo or something like that. Anyway, I forget the name of it, but it was absolutely delicious. They have one in Denver, Colorado too. And then way out west, they have two or three shops. There's like only 3 in the state, but it is, whenever I'm packing up, like hiking up the mountain, and you get to this point, whether it's a pack out, I was like this with when I packed out that mule deer in 2014 or 15 or something, or no, 18, shit, I don't even know. Or you're going from 10,000 feet to 12,000 feet, and you're just like, oh my God, you've been hunting all day, you're just drained. And the only thing that would keep me going was I knew that in 3 days, I'm going to literally destroy 8 tacos at this taco shop. And it was like, it was motivating me to keep going, eat this one last mountain house, or eat this one last peak refuel, or whatever the package was. This, you know, some of them are really good actually, but it was that.
No, I really enjoyed. I mean, if they didn't tear me the freaking hell up,
yeah.
The chicken and rice ones I actually liked quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I still have some of them because I didn't eat them all. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Like, you know, looking forward to something. Also, I will say on your water intake your liquids intake.
Yeah.
I do have a sugar problem. Like, I like sugar.
Yeah.
And I like sugar after I've worked hard, too. Like, I have to work out.
Yep.
I crave. What I would do is never put it in my bladder. My brother-in-law actually did that. But I would have my water bladder. Mm-hmm. So I had a 3-liter water bladder. And then I would take a 20-ounce Gatorade and get it in one of my pockets. It's on my pack.
Yep.
And I would just suck on that Gatorade, like when we would break.
Yep.
Or for that night, that Gatorade would last me for 3 days. But I would just, like, while I was having that break, I'd be drinking my water and just take a drink of Gatorade here and there.
Yeah.
And it's just like that nice little tasty drink.
Yep.
That was nice to have in my life for, you know, that few days.
Yep.
So, you know, and it, you're gonna have the water weight with you.
Yeah.
Right, you need water, and so I packed a lot of water with us, especially up front, because we didn't know if we could find water. We'd never been there before,
right.
So I had 3 liters on me. Then I had 1 liter Nalgene, had 2 liter Nalgene, so I had 5 liters of water on me, and that Gatorade. And that Gatorade was a little bit of a waste of weight, sure, but it was gonna still nourish you.
Yeah.
You know, it's still got the electrolytes and you know, stuff that is not bad for you,
right.
I guess isn't the best word to say. But that was, you know, if I was going to have more weight in my pack, it was okay that it was some water. And then we ended up not finding water, so that was a good thing.
Yeah.
I had enough water to last us 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I mean, you can go down all kinds of rabbit holes, but, like, I think the biggest thing is if you're going to go out west, you need to think about, like, how you're going to – what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, and I think one big bit of advice I'd give somebody who's never hunted out west, if you've never had a mountain house or a peak or a Heather Choice or whatever, I would eat those here.
Mm-hmm.
And see how you do with them.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I didn't do it. I just ate them out there, and I regretted not doing it here, because you might not do well, And then you maybe need to think about another way to get your food inside you. So,
yeah.
You know, just around the house, obviously you can find a bathroom if you need to, but yeah, now I'm hungry.
Yeah. Yep. Talking about all this shitting, my ass is going to explode. Yeah. I better go. But all right, I got to talk about one thing real quick, and that is something. Okay. I'm gonna give you the name of the meal, and I want you to tell me. I want you to envision it. I want you to tell me what animal I'm hunting. I want you to tell me what time of year it was, and I want you to tell me what its ingredients are. All right. So these are all guesses that you're gonna have to make. Okay. The name of the meal was called a river wreck.
Okay. A river wreck.
River wreck.
I'm guessing it's fish.
Okay. You think it's fish.
In the summer. And what was the third thing?
What the meal actually is.
Okay. I'm guessing it's catfish in the summer off the river.
Okay. Not a bad guess with the word river in it. But you're wrong all three times. It's all good. Okay. River wreck. There was a place, there's a little cafe in a very small town. When I mean small town, I mean like two main streets with an intersection and one stop sign. All right. It was south of the town that I grew up in. There was a dam, on the river. And the name of this town was called Oakland Mills, okay? And so Oakland Mills had this restaurant, and it had changed names over the course of, you know, however long I knew about it. I mean, shit, it was there almost my whole life so far. But recently, it's closed down, and it's nothing there anymore. Now, the river wreck. Most of the time, river wrecks were enjoyed either after a shed hunt or after a turkey hunt, okay? And it was a breakfast thing. It was a breakfast meal, and on this meal was, started off, I'm just going to build it up, base layer. The base layer of this meal was a big thing of hash browns, okay? Then over top of that, it was layered with an omelet, okay? Or and it could be an omelet. It could be eggs over easy. Then it was biscuits on top of that. And then it was the eggs fried. I always chose over easy with sausage patties, with bacon, and then with peppers and onions fried and then put on top of that. Then the biscuits were put on top, and then it was the whole entire thing was drenched in gravy. And you want to talk about a meal after a long turkey hunt or a long shed hunt, or even there were a couple times where we'd get out of the timber in a morning rut hunt and we'd go eat one of those.
Oh my God.
Dude.
God.
You want to talk?
That's amazing.
Yeah. You want to talk about, they talk about soul food and how it makes your soul feel good. This meal right here made my soul feel. My stomach was full. My soul was full. I just walked out of that, you know, and then you wash it down with, for me, it was a handful of cups of coffee and a gigantic chocolate milk. Right. And you nice. Just, you're yeah. just, you're just good. Then you go home, you take a nap, and then you're ready for the afternoon hunt. And, it was,
that amazing. Reminds me, man, like, oh man, that reminds me so much of my dad. So I'm gonna tell you a story now.
Yep.
Okay. This is gonna make my dad sound like a selfish asshole, but if you knew my dad, you would know how funny this was to do. Okay. So my dad, I didn't grow up hunting, remember?
Yep.
And so, but I did grow up fishing. We go camping, and my dad loves fishing. So we go camping and fishing. And he would make these and he would buy them from the store, big frozen bags.
One second. Say that again, because we had a little audio burp. What did he get?
He would buy these big bags of breakfast skillets.
Okay, breakfast skillets.
Okay. They're just frozen bags. Like, it's nothing special, but they were really good today. I have no idea where he got them or whatever. And he would buy the family size. Okay.
Okay.
And he would make them for himself. The whole family size for himself. Okay. And he'd get up back in the early in the morning when everybody was asleep to make them for himself. Okay. And he'd be making it, and he'd sit down, and we'd come out and be like, "Dad, that smells really good. Can I have a bite?" And he'd always go like this. He'd go, "I guess." like we were asking him to build a fort for us right there. "I want a fucking bite of your breakfast skillet, bro. It's a family size, not a single individual size. Like, just give me a bite of your breakfast skillet."
He's got three pounds of food in front of him.
Dude, he would act so put out that I was asking for a bite of his gigantic pile of food. And I know, now that I'm a grown-ass man, I know exactly how he felt.
Exactly.
Because that man got up that morning before fishing to make that for himself. And it was like his time for himself. This is my time. I'm going to sit quietly and eat this giant fucking breakfast skillet, right? And then these little shithead kids come out and ask me for bites and won't shut the fuck up, and I have to give them a bite of my food. So I totally get it now. But you, man, that reminds me, that river wreck.
Yeah.
Reminds me so much of my dad.
Man, all your dad wanted was a little peace. He's just hoping that he can finish this meal, peace and quiet, and not have to deal with anything, and then you come in the picture and ruin it for him.
That's it. And I feel so bad to this day. Like, I'm like, man.
Yeah.
The man just wanted the damn big ass breakfast skillet to himself, and he couldn't even enjoy that.
Right.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Right. I apologize. So in Iowa, we are known for pork. We're, you know, the state of Iowa is a big pork producer. So with pork comes giant tenderloins, okay? Breaded, deep fat fried, you know the drill. That is what Iowa is known for. And then there's all these different restaurants throughout Iowa that claim that they have the biggest tenderloin. And it's, there's, you know, some of these are always as big as the plate. They're gigantic. And they're absolutely delicious. So what I do is and the reason I'm bringing this up is because if I don't get the river wreck at this place, then I would get the giant tenderloin that they had. And so what I would do is, it's like two meals, right? So I would cut the bun's only this big, and then there's 4 inches of tenderloin. Yep, sticking out. So I would have two meals at one time. I would cut off, and it was almost like chicken strips, right? I'd cut off all of the excess. I would eat the tenderloin with the ketchup and the pickles and the onions. And then I would use and then of course it came with French fries. And then I would use the excess to dip in the ketchup and eat it like chicken strips. And so those are really good too. And I would eat those a lot. What's Missouri known for? Does Missouri have a food that it's known for?
Well, I mean, I would say Missouri, as far as like animals that are raised here, we definitely are beef heavy in Missouri compared to pork.
Right.
And obviously having Kansas City in our state and St. Louis to a lesser extent, we're known for our barbecue.
Yep.
Here, you know, especially like where I live, Kansas City is just a stone throw away from where we live. So barbecue is my heartbeat, man. Yep. Like here's how I say it. I would eat bad barbecue before I would eat most other good foods on a daily basis.
That's great.
So if you put subpar barbecue in front of me, I would choose that over good Italian or, you know, good whatever food. Barbecue is the shit. So I would say we're probably known for barbecue, and we're definitely beef. We're beef here. So steaks, you know, Micah's one of those dudes like, you put the steak down, count to five, you flip it over, you count to five again, and then you pull it off the grill and you eat it.
Yeah.
You know, what's this well done shit? You know, like he messes with my sister all the time and used to mess with me about, you know, why are you making your steak look like a charcoal briquette? It's not a steak anymore, you know? But yeah, we're known for beef here, and definitely barbecue is the thing. And my favorite barbecue is probably burn-ins.
Okay.
Especially if we're chop burn-ins are my favorite, but there's this little place near where I live. I'll give them a plug. Called Bates City Barbecue. It's a little tiny barbecue in a town of 200 people. And they've got a burnt-in plate that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And then when you get a side of fries for them, it's literally a bag of fries. Like like if you were a drunk and you put a bag of alcohol in a brown bag.
Yep.
It's a full brown bag of fries.
Love it.
It could feed a family of 50.
Yeah.
And it's one size of fries. And I'll go get that, and it's so damn, I mean, it's not even expensive. It's like $8 for an entire bag of fries and a pound of freaking burn-ins, man.
Yeah.
It's really affordable. And if you're a barbecue fan, I would try out that little mom-and-pop joint in Bates City, Missouri.
Bates City. When I used to live in Alabama, I lived in a town, Hartsel, Alabama, and it had a Waffle House. And it had, I'm sure there's maybe another restaurant there too, but it was a fairly small town, but it also had a barbecue joint in town, but it was a shelf and a drive-through. Okay. So basically you couldn't go there to eat. You just picked up your food and took it home. And it was like, I want a half plate. I want a whole plate. And so they had ribs. They had barbecue chicken. They had obviously pork. They had, I mean, brisket, you name it. They had it all. And at 4 o'clock every day, they would open up. I believe it was, and then on the weekends, they would, open up at noon or 11 or something like that. But they'd open up and there would be a line of cars. So I worked third shift at the time. So I would go home at about 7 or 8 o'clock, I'd go to sleep. And then at about 4 o'clock, I would go get in line. And then I would eat a big meal before I would go into work. And dude, their potato salad was homemade. Their coleslaw was homemade. Their macaroni salad was homemade. And then of course, all of the smoked meats that they had in it. I just like, I want a whole plate. I want a full plate. And if I didn't finish it, I threw it in the fridge and I'd eat it for breakfast when I would get home. And so, shout out to whatever that place is in Hartsel, Alabama, man. That was delicious. Some of the best barbecue I ever had, man.
You and I are going to murder some food right after this podcast.
Exactly. I'm going downstairs and I have some leftover pulled pork that is actually thawing out right now. That's been thawing out all night that I smoked on my smoker last month. And I didn't eat it all, so we froze it and it's been thawing out, and man, it's going to be good. I'm going to destroy leftover.
Leftover tacos are calling my name. That's one of my favorite leftover food is my wife's tacos.
Yeah.
And I know I got some downstairs or upstairs, so that's what I'm going to be eating after we get off the call.
Bingo, my friend. Well, I tell you what, I hope we've made the audience hungry as well. Go eat your favorite meal. Nate, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to BS with me, and we will talk to you when we talk to you.
All right, see you, man.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.